Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 is going to be our text this morning. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Hear now the word of the living God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen, and thus far, the reading of God's word. Are you conformed to this world? The thoughts of your heart, the things that you desire, the manner in which you live your life, is it worldly? Or are you conformed and transformed by the word of God? Are you a heavenly-minded Christian as we are called to be in the word of God? Or do you have a worldly mind? If you are someone who is struggling to be consistent in your scripture reading, I submit to you this, that you have not realized the urgency of the necessity of transforming your mind, of renewing your mind according to the word of God. You see, when you recognize that your mind is corrupt on account of the sin nature which you've inherited from Adam, on account of the sinful influences that you've absorbed through the world, through sinful friends, through movie and TV shows, and you recognize that you are wrong about so many things, that you are so inclined to lust, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If you recognize this, and then you go to the Word of God looking for transformation, it invigorates you. There's a desperation. You're not going to the Word of God merely to check it off your to-do list. You're going to the Word of God because you recognize that you need to be changed. You need to be transformed. And you're looking to Christ for instruction. And so, Christian, this urgent necessity that we have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, according to the word of God, is what our text is showing us. And I summarize the doctrine that our text teaches us as follows, that in response to the mercies of God, that is salvation in Jesus Christ freely offered to us, that we are to endeavor, to seek diligently, to live a transformed life and have a renewed mind according to the word of God. Children, to put it simply, God loves you. He's shown mercy to you in Christ, so love him back. Live a life that corresponds to what God has done for you. Before we consider in particular these two verses, let's consider the context in which they come to us. This is the beginning of the practical portion of the book of Romans. If you study the letters of Paul, he's very consistent in beginning the first portion of his letters with what you are to believe concerning God. Doctrine. the faith. And then he begins with practice, what duty God requires of you, how you are to respond in your life. And the book of Romans is a systematic exposition of the gospel. It begins showing that all men are under sin, under the condemnation of sin, Jew and Gentile. All under sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all are worthy of eternal death. But God is merciful, and he offers salvation in Jesus Christ. And Paul, throughout this letter, teaches us how that salvation is obtained through faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone. And even as it began, showing in chapter 1, the condemnation of the Gentiles, and then in chapter 2, the condemnation of the Jews, it looks ahead and shows that there's hope both for the Jew and for the Gentile, that the Jews will be turned to Christ, and the Gentiles will be turned to Christ in the manner of salvation that has been described in this book. And it's in this context, after he has laid out the gospel, which saves you from your sins, which is the mercy of God, he begins to plead with you. Verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I beseech you. He's pleading with you. I'm begging you. I'm grabbing you by the shoulders, and I'm shaking you, and I'm saying, listen to me. This is important. You need this. Look at what God has done for you in Christ. This is how you need to respond. The mercies of God, which have been just described to you throughout Romans 1 through 11. The condemnation of the world. The salvation that's had through faith in Christ. All this love has been lavished upon you, and how are you to respond? He begins to teach us. In response to this, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Brothers and sisters, your bodies are not your own. You were bought with a price. The Son of God, God of God, light of light, came down to this earth, assumed a human nature, humbled himself, taking on the form of a servant. Why? Because of love. Because of love for sinful creatures like you and me, who have rebelled against God, who have lived in sin, whose thoughts are only evil continually from their youth up. Children, you're not exempt. You're sinners. The Bible says that your thoughts are only evil continually from your youth up. You need this gospel. You need this mercy that's described in the Word of God for you. So the Son of God has come, taken on human flesh, humbled himself, died a miserable death on the cross, suffered the wrath of his Father, paid such a high price for the state of your soul to deliver you from wrath. And what are you going to do having heard that? Our text tells us that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Your body is not your own. You're not to do whatever you want with yourself. There's no such thing as my body, my choice, a lie from the pit of hell. Your body is the Lord's body, the Lord's choice. So everything that you do with your body in this life is to be consecrated unto God, separated unto God. The way that you live, the things that you do, is to be characterized by self-denial. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him follow me. and deny himself. You must live a life of self-denial. If you have believed in Christ, if Christ is your Lord and Savior, then you have been regenerated. There's a seed of faith in you. There's a seed of life in you. But there's also indwelling sin that remains in you. There's also an ongoing war in your members. The lust of the flesh. You know it's true. You know how difficult it is to pray. You know how difficult it is to read your Bible. You know how much you want things that you shouldn't want, and you do things that you shouldn't do. But you are not to rest at ease. You're to make war. You're to mortify. You're to kill those sinful affections that remain in you. And this is what it looks like to live a life where you're presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. You look at yourself not merely as yourself, but as purchased by Christ. Your body belongs to Him, and what you do with it ought to be for His glory and for His sake. And this is a holy and acceptable thing unto God. To respond to that holiness that's been placed on you by Christ by endeavoring to live out a holy life. This is your reasonable service. It's a reasonable thing. You see, I explained to you the gospel, what Christ has done for you and how you're to respond to that. It's reasonable. It's not an unreasonable thing. If your mother pours out her life for you, she prays for you, she provides for you, isn't it reasonable for you to respond to that with thankfulness and obedience? It's a reasonable thing. And verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world. I turn to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, which reads as follows. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What does it mean to be conformed to this world? We see it in the text that I just read to you. The world is characterized by obedience to lust, obedience to illicit desires, obedience to its corrupt nature, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. In the world, you just do what you want. You want something, you have a desire that rises up in you. You have no regard for what the Word of God says. You have no regard for what your parents say or what your pastor says. You simply are acting upon your impulses. The world is characterized by seeking to satisfy these lusts of the flesh. Bodily desires. We see how perverted our society is. Lust of the eyes and pride of life. Why are you wasting your time in this rinky-dink building on a Sunday morning? You ought to be figuring out how you're going to advance your career. You ought to be figuring out how you're going to gain notoriety in the corporate world. That's the world's way of thinking. If your employer is asking you to work on Sundays, maybe for extra pay, you ought to take it, right? Worldly thinking. But we're not to be conformed to that way of thinking, because we remember what Christ has done for us on that first day of the week. And so we gather in his name. We are not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. What does it look like to be transformed? Children, in your day-to-day life, when you're doing your studies, what does it look like to be transformed? Don't you just want to go and play? Don't you just want to... Don't you hate all that work that you're having to do? You see, you have that lust, that desire in you, but we're called upon to present our bodies a living sacrifice, to deny ourselves, to deny those things, to honor our father and our mother. Parents, many of you have these marks of a transformed life already in you. Mothers, look at you. The world is telling you that children are a burden, that you shouldn't submit to a man. That's a Stone Age ideology. The world is telling you, okay, maybe you can have one baby for cute Instagram pictures, but you send them as soon as possible, you send them to daycare, send them to school, and you go back to the corporate world. But no, you've presented your bodies a living sacrifice. You've denied yourself. You've committed yourself to the upbringing of these children, to nurture their souls, to pursue those things which are heavenly. That's what it means to be transformed and not to be conformed to this world. And know that the Lord will bless those efforts. And know that children, you ought to look upon what your mothers are doing for you and what your fathers are doing for you and be grateful. And when you're looking at your daily studies and how much more you'd rather goof off and play and be disobedient, then you remember this verse, that you're not going to be conformed to this world. You're not going to merely act upon your impulses, but you're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're going to look to what the scriptures say. You're going to say, my mother, my father, they're thinking not just about my fun for the day. They're thinking about my future. And not just physically speaking, but spiritually speaking. And so you're going to submit yourselves to that, and you're going to deny yourself of those impulses that you have that make you to be disobedient. All of us continue this warfare within us. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. We have to be transformed. We have to have a transformed life by the renewing of our minds. We have to go to the scriptures looking for light, looking for how to live. You have to be willing to let the scriptures transform you. When you're confronted and you're convicted by the word of God, you have two options. You can either dig in your heels and rationalize and come up with some interpretation or some dismissal and say that was historical for whatever, it's not for me. But deep in your heart, you know what it says. You just don't want to be challenged in that way. You don't want to be transformed in that way. Or the other option is to submit yourself to the Word of God. To recognize that your mind is corrupt. There's that remaining corruption in you. And so you go to the Word of God, seeking to be instructed, seeking to be changed and transformed. I think of myself having a conversation with a friend about movies. This is in the context of discussing Game of Thrones. I've never seen Game of Thrones, and me and this friend both agreed that we shouldn't be watching Game of Thrones because of the gross Seventh Commandment violations in it. But then we realized something. The movies that we watch have first table commandment violations. Taking the name of the Lord in vain. And to be honest with you, when I was confronted in this thing, I didn't want to accept it. I wanted to see a certain movie that I knew was taking the name of the Lord in vain. And I wanted to rationalize and say, oh, that's straining at a gnat. That's not a big thing. And I realized that what I was doing was being resistant to the Word of God. And so I had to let that go, and I had to admit that in the same way that I was looking at someone watching Game of Thrones and saying, that's wrong, that's pornography, I have to be consistent and look at my own self and my own sin. And have a transformed mind. A transformed mind that loves the name of the Lord. A transformed mind that's not going to tolerate, that's not going to pay money to hear someone destroy the sanctity of that name in the ears of its audience. My point is not about movies. My point is, how are you going to respond to the Word of God when it convicts you of sin? This world has infiltrated our minds in so many avenues and in so many ways. We are all seeking happiness. We're all seeking to be satisfied. And this world would have you to think that that's the most important thing. It would have you to think that it is vain to serve God, as it says in Malachi chapter 3. It would have you think that I've been a Christian, I've been serving God, I've been going to church, and I'm not really all that happy. So I need to begin to look outside of the church. I need to begin to look outside of God. I'm going to depart from the precepts of the Lord, because I want to be happy. I think of so many friends that I have that have fallen away from the faith because of being in love, of being in so-called love. They meet this person, this unbeliever in the world, and they're so enthralled with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and they have that urgent desire to be happy, to be satisfied. And they're conformed to this world in this way of thinking. And so they go after it. And they're seeking to satisfy that lust. And they're not willing to be transformed by the Word of God. You see, in the world, when it comes to being in love, all bets are off. You do what you got to do. You follow your heart. But what does the Word of God say about the heart? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And so do not be conformed to this world, in that way of thinking. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, when you come to Christ, it is because the Holy Spirit has begun to work in you. He's regenerated you. He's breathed life into you. And there's a seed of God in you, a seed of faith in you. And anyone who is a Christian, who's believed on Christ, no matter where they are in their walk, even in a backslidden state, that seed of God remains in them. That spark of life remains in them. That's the beginning of sanctification. But you see, sanctification is a lifelong process. You move in it by degrees and step by step. So it is possible that you may be a Christian, you may have that seed of life in you, but you may be in a hospital bed on life support, just barely alive, not able to walk, not able to run, not able to be active. You see, that seed of faith needs to be watered. And the Spirit of God is constantly seeking to water that seed in you to bring forth fruit so that you will not just be barely alive on life support, that you will be up and active and powerful. But we, because of indwelling sin, we quench the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God seeking to work greater and greater sanctification in us. When we turn to our lusts, when we neglect the means of grace, we quench the Spirit of God. We block His efforts. You see, you can be convicted by this sermon. The Spirit of God can be working upon your hearts. And yet you can also, afterwards, put it out of your minds immediately after the service. You can recognize those ways in which you've been living according to the lusts of this world, according to the lusts of the flesh. And you can feel that conviction, but tomorrow you continue in it. That's quenching the Spirit. And so we need to be renewed in our minds. We need to submit ourselves to the Word of God. We need to stop ourselves from quenching the work of the Spirit in our lives. And to this end, for this purpose, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have seen that the foundation of a transformed life and a renewed mind is the mercies of God in Christ. We've seen what it means to be transformed in life and renewed in mind. And now we see for what purpose it is that we are to renew our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, prove here means that you are understanding, you're discerning. You have a mind that is well exercised in the things of God. Hebrews talks about this as a mature mind, able to discern good and evil. So there's a part of that's in your understanding, that you're able to look at the Word of God and apply it to yourself and discern good from evil, to know how you ought to live your life, to know how the Word of God applies in certain situations. That you're no longer hiding behind ambiguity. You're not being like the Pharisees that say about the commandments, well, I'm not having physical adultery, so I'm not breaking the commandment. No, you're able to prove, you're able to discern the will of God. That when the Word of God comes to you, it's not only talking to your outward man, It is talking to your outward man, but not only. It's speaking to a complete conformity in body and soul, in mind, will, and affections to the law of God. So when God comes to you and says that he hates adultery, he hates illicit sexual activity, you recognize that you have a duty to conform yourself to the will of God. And so you are going to not only avoid the physical act, but you're also going to hate all the means that lead up to it. You're not going to enjoy it. You're not going to say, well, I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to think about it. I'm going to desire it in my heart. No, you're recognizing that even your heart has to be in conformity to the will of God. And that's what that mature mind that is able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. But you see, this does not only pertain to our understanding and understanding how to discern the will of God, but it also pertains to our pattern of life. You see, when you are living a life that is full of Christ, that is in conformity to his word, conformity to his law, you show, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, or maybe last week, how those wives, by their good conversation, are able, their good behavior, are able to win over the husbands that obey not the word. You are able to prove, prove to the world, showing the world your good works, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. They're able to look at you, look at your life, and see the way that you're living, and see that this is the conduct that's becoming of one that has been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. So it is incumbent upon us, if we are to live as mature Christians, if we are to walk with Christ in this world, that we consider the gospel, we consider the mercies of God in Christ. These mercies of God that are compelling Paul to plead with us, to grab us and tell us to listen to him. Because of what Christ has done for us, in light of which we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We have seen that we must not be conformed to this world, which is characterized by living, seeking to satisfy the lusts of the flesh and the eyes and the pride of life. But rather, as Jesus said, we are to deny ourselves and we are to have a transformed mind. We are to have a mind that seeks to love God with all of our hearts and all of our soul and all of our strength. We are to seek to bring our manner of life, our way of living, into conformity with the word of God. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. We're to hate sin. We're not to be entertained by it. We're not to flirt with it. We're not going to say, I'm going to try not to transgress this line, but I'm going to do as much as I possibly can so that I can still have some enjoyment of it. No, we're supposed to flee from it. Flee youthful lusts, as Timothy said. We are to continue in those ways in which we are marked by a transformed life. We're to continue in those good works of nurturing our children, of seeking the Lord and his kingdom, of worshiping him, of being in fellowship with the saints. And we are to look for this mark of maturity in ourselves, that we are able to discern what the good and perfect and acceptable will of God is. You see, the will of God, it is good for our souls. All of God's commandments, all of his word is for your own good. If you sin, you're not harming God. And if you do good, you're not blessing him either. But it is for your own sake that he's given you his word to instruct you in the way in which you should live. The will of God is acceptable. If you, in Christ, having faith in Christ and having this faith-wrought obedience in him, bring yourself into conformity to his word, then those good works that you do in Christ through faith are acceptable with God. And it is perfect It is without any defect. The word of God is able to make the man of God perfect, as we read in 2 Timothy 3. As you have heard these words, I'm sure there's been things that you've meditated upon in your own life. And you've realized ways in which you've gone after the lusts of your flesh, that you've been in disobedience to the word of God. And so what are you going to do about that? Are you going to seek to quench the Spirit of God, to quiet that troubled conscience and continue in what you're doing? Continue in your transgressions, continue in your negligence? Or are you going to take heed to the Apostle Paul, who's pleading with you, who's beseeching you by the mercies of God, and seek to have this transformed life? Seek to have this renewed mind. Go to the Word of God with desperation, with urgency. Go there to learn what it is that you are to believe concerning God and what duty He requires of you. Go there to seek out how you are to live your life. And these mercies of God includes that work of the Spirit in your heart, through whom all of these things can be done. It is not by the strength of the flesh, it's not by the resolution of your will that you are going to attain this transformed life, but rather it's by the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that is working in you. What is incumbent upon you is to stop quenching the work of the Spirit by yielding yourself in obedience, by seeking that conformity to His world, by avoiding that conformity to the world, which we are all so inclined to. And so, as you hear these words, seek Christ. Take hold of Him by faith. If you've seen your shortcomings, if you've known your transgressions, and you've been convicted of your sin, know that there's forgiveness in Christ. And repent and endeavor in that new obedience. Children, endeavor, work hard, be careful in your studies. Don't grieve your mother. Don't be disobedient to your mother. Deny yourself. Put your schoolwork first. Pay attention in family worship. Read the Bible on your own. Trusting in Christ that you have forgiveness of sins and that He's going to be the one through His Spirit helping you and causing you to grow in grace. As you go about your week, endeavor to live a life of self-denial, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, remembering how He denied Himself. How He, although He had right unto all the things in this world as King, nevertheless He put those aside and He assumed into Himself a form of a servant for your sake. And so, meditating upon this truth, seek after Him in your work, in your private worship life, in your family worship life, in your prayer life. Avoid those lusts which are so deeply enrooted in your heart, which your heart is so inclined to follow after. And go to the Word of God, seeking to be transformed, seeking to be renewed, so that Christ will be formed in you, and that you will have a discernment, of how to understand and how to do the will of the Lord through faith in Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the mercies of God in Christ, through which we are able to approach you, to call upon your name, to have fellowship with you and with one another. Lord, we confess the sinfulness of our hearts, and we ask that you would work in us to renew us, even as we have heard, to transform us, even as we have heard. Forgive us of all of our shortcomings and revive us with your Holy Spirit. And as we continue this worship service and the rest of this Lord's Day, we ask that you would continue to work these things in our hearts by your Holy Spirit, growing us in Christ, bringing us into conformity to his image, so we might walk in sweet communion with him. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen.